Jamaica has moved up 16 places in the 2015 Corruption Perceptions Index, CPI. This places the country at 69 out of 168. Justice Minister Senator Mark Golding, in a recent interview with Ian Boyne, credits this improvement to specific actions taken by the government. Here are excerpts of that interview.
Having been sort of stagnated at a particular point in the index for some 9 years, finally the work that has been done over the last few years was recognized and we moved up 16 places. I think we are only one of 10 countries in the world, over 168 countries that were a part of this index, that moved up that far. Oh. And we're now number one in the Caribbean in terms of our ranking. And in the top quartile for the entire Americas. So it's quite significant. Mm. And I thought that the public ought to know how this happened. You know, it didn't just happen by accident. So we have passed and introduced a number of laws that have strengthened the framework and also established institutional initiatives that have enhanced our anti-corruption effort. So the Ministry of Justice has either played a supportive role of other ministries where these particular pieces of legislation fall under other ministries, or we have initiated them ourselves. So in terms of, for example, the anti-gang legislation, the anti-lotto scam legislation, the amendments to the Securities Act to prohibit Ponzi schemes and pyramid schemes, the amendments to the Proceeds of Crime Act that make it illegal to enter into cash transactions of over $1 million other than through the formal regulated financial system. These are all significant things that have made a difference to our ranking. Then there's the Integrity Commission Bill, which went through a Joint Select Committee of Parliament reviewing it and has just finished that process, which will establish a single anti-corruption agency with prosecutorial powers, which is a new feature that it doesn't now have. And importantly, specific provisions that allow the sharing of information between law enforcement agencies, tax agencies, and anti-corruption agencies so that they're not going to be operating in silos any longer. And this, we feel, will also make a significant difference in terms of people avoiding the arm of the law and operating with impunity where it comes to corruption. So we are pleased that this has been recognized, because we've been at this for a while and it was heartening to see that the Transparency International has recognized this. And of course, we're supporting these efforts by civil society as well. Mm-hmm. Entities such as National Integrity Action, who have been very active in promoting the message and also supportive behind the scenes in training and so on for justice stakeholders at all levels of the system in some of the new legislation that has been introduced. Mm-hmm. So it's been a collective effort in that regard.
Minister, the decriminalization of ganja, was this just a political move to gain popularity with certain segments of the population, or is it a well-needed piece of legislation?
I think it's a well-needed piece of legislation because of the fact that Jamaica has, for a long time, been a place where ganja is cultivated, and its use is medicinally part of our folk culture and recreationally is part of popular culture. And the effect of that...
Have we seen the effects on people of this recreational use?
I think so. I think that, you know, there's positive and negative in it. But I don't think criminalizing it had any positive impact whatsoever in terms of user patterns. And we're not seeing any increased usage since we decriminalized it, anecdotally. But what it did do was it meant that a lot of young men, first of all, it was a major source of friction between the police and young men in communities, which didn't help community policing and was, in fact, undermining the relationship, that, which is so critical to fighting crime, of having a positive relationship there.
So it had some unintended consequences.
Definitely. And then on individuals, they ended up with criminal records, which, you know, stymied their prospects of employment and travel, which was really a human rights issue, in my opinion. So we have decriminalized, as you know, personal use of small quantities, so it's no longer going into the court system as a prosecutable and arrestable offense. That's nearly 15,000 cases a year that are going to come out of the court system, which, as you know, has benefits, problems with burdens,
yes,
and so on, so it's important from that point of view. And from the point of view of those individuals, they will no longer get a criminal record if they get ticketed for use, but even past offenses that they had committed involving small quantities for personal use will be automatically expunged. All they have to do is apply for a criminal record, and it will be issued to them without that on it any longer. And thousands of people are benefiting from that. So that piece of legislation has been actually significant, I think, in terms of Jamaica's cultural development and progress, and has been recognized internationally. And so I'm just saying it kind of put Jamaica on the map as a pioneer in this area.
Justice Minister Senator Mark Golding speaking in a recent interview with Ian Boyne.
This has been a production of the Jamaica Information Service.